Father, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we thank you for a new year. We thank you for a clean slate. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we look forward. We look forward to the things that are coming, and we put the past behind. We can't change the past, but we could change the future. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in each and one of us, Lord, that you're maturing us up in your word and in your spirit. And, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is truth, and it changes things. And, Lord, we thank you for today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, the name of the message today is our new identity. Okay, I touched on this a little bit, like, it was in December, believe it or not. We are being groomed and renewed by our Lord every single day. The old you has died with Jesus on the cross, along with all of your sins. All of our sins are forgiven and forgotten. This process began after we became born-again believers. Now let's look up Galatians 2:20 again. That's still, this isn't a continuation of the message, but adding on to it. So Galatians 2:20, it says, "My old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine." Now, for all those, I use the Passion Translation. So once again, the old sin nature was nailed to the cross. This is a miracle process by our Father, our Creator, to become like him. He is creating us into his image and his likeness. We are all still a work in progress. Amen? We're all in a different place, and we're never going to stop growing. Now, last time we ended with a five-part series on the revelation of our salvation. We ended with the old sin nature, and we received our new identity. The Holy Spirit wants to go a little deeper with us about understanding our new identity in Christ. He wants us to have more faith in this area, to believe who we are in Christ. And faith only comes by how? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. To understand the new creation after we become born again, God creates this new birth in us. God didn't just clean us up from our old nature. He created something fresh, new, and all of us are unique. Hallelujah. We are a brand new creation brought about from nothing, just as the universe was created by God from nothing. Only God could accomplish this. This is a miracle act of love and grace and mercy. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, "Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God." Amen. And this all, and in the footnote, it says this includes our old identity, our old life of sin, the power of Satan, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationship with the world, and our old mindsets. We are not reformed or simply refurbished. We have been made completely new by our union with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is amazing to me. Amen. So it also says in Colossians 3:3, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie of this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God and Christ. So we've been totally cut off from this world. I mean, we could want it, but he cut it off. All the old dead things are now replaced with new things, full of life in the glory of God. We are newborn souls, and we delight in the things of God and not of the things of the world and the flesh. Our purposes, feelings, and desires are fresh and different. We see the world differently since we become born again. Think about the way you used to be and think about the way you are now. Hopefully, you've seen these changes, and the Word of God becomes alive in us also. We see beauty in things that we hadn't seen before. We have a new kind of love towards mankind. The things we once loved, we now detest. The sin we once held on to, we now desire to put away forever. We put off the old man with his deeds, and we put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness like him. If you remember, I asked everyone a question. Who are you? And I said, think about what you would say without saying what you do. So I don't want to get into that part of it, but just think about that for a moment. Our true identity is not found in our careers, our jobs, financial success and status, or by our relationships, or our grades in school and our reputations. If we base our identity on things like success, wealth, power, physical appearance, and so on, we're going to set ourselves up for a big disappointment. And all our circumstances are not permanent. They can change at any time, and they surely do. Right? Oh, we all can do that. I just had my daughter-in-law, her father, this just happened to him right after Christmas. He worked for his uncle's company for 30 years, and he got laid off. And he's 60-something years old. So, I mean, you don't know. I mean, one day I was a wife, right? Associate pastor with my husband. He passes away suddenly, and the next day I know I'm senior pastor of the Father's house. Totally unexpected. But my identity has to be in Christ. I could say, oh my God, I can't do this. Oh my God, I'm not, I can't. But in Christ, I can. And that's how I had to look at everything. If you lose your job, it's not the end of the world. God will have something else for you. Right? Amen. Okay. Where am I? Okay. God, however, he's unchanging. He is reliable, thank God. If we find our identity in him, we will never ultimately be let down because he has proven always to be trustworthy. One of the most important revelations we can get from the Word of God is to understand who we are in Christ. Identifying with Christ will change the way we live and cause us to rise above adversity. Not understanding our identity in him will keep us living far below our rights and privileges in Christ and our authority. To be able to understand our authority, we need to understand who God is and who and what he says about himself and what he says about you. Our identity can be defined by who God is. He is making us to be in his image, in his likeness. We have to understand how he sees us. It's tempting to build our identity on what we accomplish, but this is not a stable foundation to stand on. We can't identify ourselves, like I said, by our jobs, our careers, nationality, or our race. And please don't ever identify yourself with an illness or an addiction, like I am an alcoholic, or I am an addict, or I am diabetic, or you fill in the blank. You get it? Never say that. As Christians, these are all the wrong answers to the question, who are you? In Christ is where our identity should be. It is in Jesus that we're somebody. So the correct answer to the question, who are you, is I am a child of the Most High God, the creator of the universe. Now let's turn to James chapter 1, 23. And all our questions are always going to be found in the Word of God. James 1, 23. Page number, you need to know that? 658. No, I'm wrong. 123. It says here, if you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word. But then you go out and you forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty or freedom are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear, and they are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. So, the person in the mirror is how God sees you. He sees you as the new person. But we forget sometimes who we really are, and then we forget our authority. We have to understand a very important key or a power that God himself operates in, and he gave us this power to change or create things. If you want to see something change, we have to say or speak the change. If you don't like something in your life, change it. How? The answers are always found in the Word, our life manual. Now, the enemy knows how this works too. And when we start to believe in our negative circumstances, that is believing in what we see, accepting what you see, and speaking what you see, the negative, this is an open door for the enemy to come in, and he confirms to you that this is reality, and he starts to whisper things in your ear. And then he gets into your head, and he says, this is never going to change. You are stuck in this. You're never going to get out of this mess. You're never going to be able to do what you wanted to be. You will never accomplish anything. You know you're not getting any younger. Has anybody ever heard these things in your... Then you get emotional. You become oppressed, depressed, tired, lazy. You may get angry. You get a victim mentality. You feel confused and fear sets in. The enemy wants to steal our true identity from us and make us believe that God will never come through because he really doesn't love you or care about you at all. Because if he did, this wouldn't be happening to you. This is why our Father wants us to understand a very important key or divine power he's given us. The same power that brings change to every situation and circumstance, and it always creates. He says if you want to see change, then you have to change your words to change your situation. This is a now word, a great reminder for us. And it includes, remember the Hebrew year is 5784? And that 80 is pe, which means the mouth, and 4 is, how do you say that? Dalet, and that's the open door. So this is the year of the mouth and the open door. So God calls those things that are not as they were, Romans 4:17. In the natural realm, what God is calling us to may not exist yet, but in his eyes it does. So we need to talk about ourselves the same way God does. Now let's turn to James chapter 3, 2-10. This is really going to help you guys. This is just a reminder, but it's a good one. He says here, 3:2, James, we all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way, and that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Do you hear that? Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It's a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God, our Father, and then turn around and curse a person who was made in his very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should never be. James was really strong in this area, but I call it diarrhea of the mouth. You ever hear or grow up with people in your family that just all this junk comes out of their mouth? When we spew curse words or negative words out of your mouths about ourselves or someone else, we need to get our tongues in line with God's word and not go by what we see, hear, or go by our five senses. We have to discipline our tongues, our mouths. The tongue has dominion. The tongue has power. This means it has authority. I'm going to say that again. Let me say it this way. Our mouths, what we speak, has dominion. Our mouths, when we speak, have power. This means we have authority. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's in Proverbs. We can use it in a positive manner or we can use it in a negative manner. The things we say don't change in an instant. It takes time. When James uses a horse's bit and a ship as examples, he is saying that we turn the situation the way we want it to go with what we say. But it may take time for it to change. A ship can't turn quickly. Right? Think about the Titanic. They couldn't turn that ship quick enough to get away from that iceberg. It takes time to move it. It turns slowly before it gets back on course. That's how we steer our life with our mouths, the confessions and the things we say. That is why God speaks and declares in the Word good things about us. That's why there's good things about us in here. And that's why he wants us to say the same thing. And we're agreeing with him. And that is why he wants us to say what he says to bring the blessings in our life. He wants us to be blessed. He wants the best for us. But we have to want it to change. And we have to work along with the Holy Spirit and get our tongues, our mouths to line up with what God says about us. I know the enemy has been persistent and he has us weary and tired and we are in a fight. We are in a battle, guys. But don't lose hope and don't lose heart. It doesn't take much energy to speak. We do it all day long. Just say the right things. Right? Okay, let's go back to our true identity. let's believe what God says about us too, okay? So in Christ, now I made copies of this, so if anyone wants one, I made about 10, you can just ask me. And if I need to make more, I'll bring more next week. It says, in Christ we are loved. We were created with a purpose. We are not just a convenient carbon copy of someone else. We were created uniquely and with intention. God lovingly designed every detail of our person. We are chosen. We are saints. In Christ, we are not only loved, but chosen. God sent his own son to the earth to die in our place so that we could be included in his family. God was not obligated to choose us based on our performance or our credentials. Or if you say to yourself, I'm not good enough, okay? God doesn't do that. He chose to carry out a plan that involved the death of his son, which allowed us the opportunity to be a child of God. You ever meet anybody that doesn't go to church because they say that they're not good enough? But doesn't understand that God just wants to clean them up and, okay. So in Ephesians, and love them, in Ephesians 2:19, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. Galatians 1:11-13, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. We are no mistake. We are chosen and we are wanted. We are loved, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are forgiven, 1 John 1:9. I think we were singing the song about that. And we are righteous too. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We are redeemed, Isaiah 43:1. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. Our identity does not define us in light of our past mistakes. We walk in the identity of someone who is made new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Amen. We are adopted, Romans 8:15-17. But you did not receive the spirit of slavery or bondage or religion, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You have been accepted into the family of God. We are now legitimate children of the God of the universe, having all the same rights and standing of Jesus' son. All the same rights. That's your inheritance as children of God. We are delivered, Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. We are approved, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but we have been approved by God to be those who preach the gospel. We are holy and righteous, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are healed, Psalm 103, healed us of all our sicknesses and diseases. And of course, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we are healed. We are gifted, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created for good works in which God prepared beforehand. We are secure. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Nobody, no one, no demon. Don't even listen to that. We are protected, all of Psalm 91, and that's too long to get into, but all of Psalm 91 talks about protection. We are victorious, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are equipped, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are set free, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are strong, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. We are renewed, Galatians 3:10, and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. We are prosperous, 3 John 2, that in all respects you may be prosperous and in good health, just as your soul prospers. We are blessed, Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. When I say law in the Old Testament, I mean his word, okay? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you touch shall prosper. Wherever you walk shall prosper. And in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And once again, I'm going to leave with this one. We are loved. Romans 8:37, 39. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus our Lord. And I can go on and on and on. But how do you feel now? You feel pretty good now, right? Because I said all these good things about you. Strong and mighty, just like Jesus. Prosperous, blessed. These are things we got to say, right? Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are showing us our true identity of who we are in Christ. Lord, we thank you that we are children of yours, and that as a Father and a Jesus and Holy Spirit, you're always watching over us. You love us so much. You make sure that we're taken care of. You work out every situation for us, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you that as we see ourselves the way you see us, Lord, that will raise us up into a different level with you, and that as we mature in you, the blessings of the Lord will be the fullness of all the blessings of the Lord, and all the promises shall come upon us, Lord, and overtake us. So, Father, we thank you that we'll be obedient to do your word, Lord, and we'll be obedient to speak better out of our mouths and train our tongues not to speak negative, and, Lord, that we would speak right things. And Lord, we will see turnarounds and breakthroughs like we never seen before as we guide our tongues, the ship, into the way our life should be and go. In Jesus' name, amen.